You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Continue to make our way through the Texans draft picks and take an inside look through the experts who cover them. Today we talk about the Stanford Cardinal guys, Justin Reed and Peter Kalambayi. Hello, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast. Welcome to Locked On Texans. Brian's got the day off. We are your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. We're part of the FanRag Sports Network, if you're just joining us for the first time, and we hope you make us a regular part of your day. Hey, a bit of news from the Houston Chronicle Texans beat writer John McClain Thursday. He tweeted out that the Texans are moving last year's fifth-round pick, Treston Doku, from corner to safety. If you guys remember, there was talk that this was going to eventually happen. Doku doesn't have tremendous speed, but he's tall. He can tackle people. That means there's a bunch of names at safety with this happening to Doku. Not all of them can be that game one lineup card guy. So we're going to see what happens if they're all healthy. But you got Tyrann Mathieu, Eddie Pleasant, Corey Moore, Andre Howell, and of course the guy we're about to talk about, Justin Reed. And that leads me perfectly into our first guest, and joining me now is Jack Blanchett from SB Nation's ruleoftree.com, who covers Stanford, which is where third-round pick Justin Reed and sixth-round pick Peter Kalambayi went to school. Thanks for joining us, Jack. And I guess I want to start off with Justin Reed, because there is a ton of excitement about him with Texans fans. And I think everybody, it's almost lockstep unanimous that everybody thinks the Texans got a steal with Justin Reed in the third round. What do you think?
You know, I'm inclined to agree. Reed was a guy that you saw kind of slip into the back half of even some first round mock drafts later in the year. You know, played like an All-American all year. Certainly has the athletic profile to perform well in the NFL. And I think the biggest thing for the Texans is it's clearly a position of need. Just with Andre Howell being okay, maybe not that great. I saw a lot of people kind of, you know, waving goodbye to him metaphorically on the internet. But I think Reed is he's earned his spot at this place. And I was a little surprised that he fell this far. I fully expected him to be a second round pick. I think for the Texans to get him where they did speaks to his value. But I think he's ready to come in and be a starter game one all through the season.
Well, let me ask you, Texans fans haven't seen this guy play yet. What are his strengths? What makes him so good?
I think the biggest thing for Justin is that he's an advanced thinker. You know, Stanford has kind of had some safety prospects in the past that have been kind of one trick ponies almost, or all they would do was kind of play free, but Justin really can play in any kind of coverage and knows the ins and outs of route trees and the way the defense is being attacked. So you'd see a lot of his interceptions this past year would be kind of cleaning up where he'd sneak in at the last moment and swipe a route before it had a chance to get there. So I think he's got the cerebral ability to process everything on the field. And then he's got the athletic ability to make that work. So I think he's really physical. He's a good tackler coming downhill. He plays a little bit like his brother does. I think that's a pretty good compliment. You know, Eric Reed is a fine football player. And I think Justin, profiles like a guy who can be a starting safety in the NFL.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going to ask you. You led me right into it. He's very similar to his brother. I think a lot more people would be familiar with his brother that followed the NFL. Eric Reed played for the 49ers. And their traits are pretty similar.
I would say so. You know, they're both physically, they look very similar. I think Justin is like an inch shorter or something like that. But they're both the same kind of physical profile. Eric is really good hitting downhill. Justin is very good hitting downhill. I think Eric is probably a little bit better going backward as a safety. I think that's where Justin, that's his next step to make, especially at the NFL level where guys are going to be attacking you in so many different ways, and you might get matched up one-on-one with, you know, Odell Beckham in the slot or something like that. So I think he and his brother have a lot of similar. It's so easy to make the comparison, obviously. But I think they approach the game with the same kind of physicality and downhill nature that it would be unwise not to make it, really.
You mentioned maybe that was a weakness, him going backward. Is there anything else? Anything else that maybe kept him from being a first or second round safety? What traits does he have that maybe Texans fans should be concerned about? Or do you feel like there is any? It just kind of happenstance that he fell a little bit into the third round to the Texans.
It felt to me like probably just happenstance. I don't think that there are any big red flags with him in terms of ability or character or football motivation. He's a hungry guy, and I think you can see that if you look at his social media. He's a guy who's ready to grind all the time. The reason I say he had some struggles going backward is I think of the USC Pac-12 championship game. He gave up two big plays there. Now that's going against Sam Darnold, another top draft pick, but there are guys, you know, certainly on Sam Darnold's level in the NFL. So I think that's maybe the one thing that I would think if you're not ready to put him as a true free safety or a true, you know, man coverage safety, if you're going to be playing a lot of nickel, nickel or dime, I guess, but I think the Texans maybe have got a little room to work with it and ended up getting a darn good player, a high caliber quality player for just kind of luck.
I'm going to give you a theory in a little bit, maybe a reason why Justin Reed could have slipped into a little bit in the third round. Maybe it's nothing, but I'm going to play conspiracy theory in just a bit. But before I do, just a quick reminder for our listeners. If you're enjoying Locked On Texans, do us a favor. Tell your friends. Let them know they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. So many ways for you to listen to the show on a regular basis. And we're going to keep you company through the long Texans offseason. We're going to make that daily commute and that horrible Houston traffic got a little bit more easier. Just listen to us every day as you're heading to work or coming home. And hey, if you're a fan of the show, record a message for us, maybe using the voice memo on your phone. Email the voice memo to lockedontexans@mail.com, and we'll certainly use it on the show. All right, here is a little conspiracy theory for maybe a reason Justin Reed slipped somewhat, and I'm wondering if this could have gone through NFL owners' minds. And we know the way NFL owners can be. I mean, you got his brother, Eric, who obviously is being blackballed by the NFL. He's now suing for collusion. That's going on. Now, that happened after the draft. Maybe he waited after the draft because he wanted to let Justin get picked first so that wouldn't be over Justin's head, you know, at that point. But is there any talk that Eric's situation could have affected Justin's?
You know, I haven't seen anybody tie that really tightly together, but I think that certainly the longer Eric Reed is unemployed, the longer or the more, that is going to percolate. I think you're right in that it's well established the way NFL owners think at this point and think about guys associated with a national anthem protests or flag protests, you know, whatever phrase you want to use to around that is. I think that there's probably some, you know, questions or lingering questions about that. I don't know how Justin answered would have answered those questions during the draft process. So I assume he was one of the guys who got him most frequently, and there are probably some teams that, may have dinged him or taken him off their boards as a consequence, because like I said, it's not football ability that kept him, back. But I haven't seen anything really hard and fast to tie him to that. But like I said, if Eric Reed continues to be unemployed after being a Pro Bowl caliber player, I think there's going to be a little smoke, or where there's smoke there's fire kind of situation.
So you followed his career. I mean, is this a guy that's outspoken? Has he been outspoken about other issues? The only thing that I could find And it was interesting because I found it in the same piece that Justin and Peter Colombi, the two future Texans or few current Texans, the two new ones, both of those guys had some things to say about the NCAA, what goes on with, you know, the paying. I don't know if it was, I can't remember if it was paying of athletes. It was something in that nature, but it was, you know, just some of the stuff that goes on with the NCAA, and they weren't, you know, afraid to be outspoken about the NCAA as they're playing college ball at Stanford. Is Justin somebody that you think is going to want to talk about this kind of stuff, or what do you think is going to happen? And the same thing for Peter, I guess, as well.
I don't think either will be particularly outspoken. I don't think we've got Richard Sherman 2.0 on our hands necessarily to make this the Stanford defensive back comparison. I think Justin is a pretty intense guy, based on kind of what I know of him and what I've seen of him. I don't know that criticism of the NCAA is necessarily too unpopular a position at this point either. Because neither of those guys made headlines or said anything controversial during their time at Stanford. Now, like I said, that doesn't tend to happen at Stanford. I think the players are pretty well media coached there. So it would be a surprise to me if that happened. I don't know what, I fully don't really know what to expect. And maybe things might change if, Eric continues to, you know, is locked out of the NFL for a year or 2 years.
Same thing, I guess, with Peter. And the one thing that I think he has been a little bit outspoken about, and it hasn't maybe been as big a deal with the NFL, but the immigrant situation. I know that his mother is from Trinidad and Tobago. She's an immigrant. It's very important to him. His dad's from, I think he's Congolese, if I got that right. And so it's something that means a great deal to him. And I believe his mother has worked to get American citizenship. So, but both of these guys, would you say they're both pretty outspoken guys, though? They're not afraid to say stuff, and they were leaders with Stanford.
I would not say outspoken in like leading into controversial, or you're not going to see them as the first headline on First Take. But I would say they definitely have their convictions. I think that's kind of a diplomatic way to put it, I guess. I think the one thing I will say about Stanford athletes in general is that these guys, these players, certainly, you know, in addition to being football players, that locker room is really diverse and really interesting. And a lot of those Stanford football players that I've interacted with or interviewed or, become friends with over the years are a whole bunch of interesting guys from very different backgrounds, and they're not afraid to speak to that. I think you look at Michael Thomas, safety for the Giants, another guy who I think is really firm in his convictions and yet has become a leader and a positive face in the NFL. Richard Sherman has obviously become a firebrand for for different reasons. But, you know, another guy who is not afraid to take on any questions because he feels like, you know, he's done the hard work of educating himself and is not afraid to speak to that. So, you know, I don't know if these guys are going to be put in the same situations as some of those guys, but I think the Stanford football program in general speaks a lot to their players. And then I hear it out of their mouths about, you know, the mantle of leadership and what the price of leadership is. I think that's inherent in the character of the program. And I think that manifests itself in the players. So that can be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, some guys don't like, they don't really like their players to be all that outspoken. They want them to show up and, you know, be quiet and play football. And other teams and other programs and other places are okay with their players, you know, being themselves. So I think it's, you know, I can't speak to the Texans locker room. I hadn't been in there, but it seems to me like guys are comfortable being themselves. So I think the personalities, they fit in a in a specific way.
Yeah, I think Bob McDermott does not want guys that are political, and they basically train these guys not to get into too much of anything for the most part. You know, what's happened with Bob McNair, of course, everybody knows, right, even on a national basis, but obviously the Texans fans are very familiar with that. I want to ask you about Peter Kalamvaiye, the player, because the one thing that I've heard, incredible talent, you know, incredible talent coming out of high school. This guy played multiple sports. He was good in multiple sports. What happened with him at Stanford? Because there's a perception that I've read that maybe he didn't really develop or reach his potential as an athlete and with what he had at Stanford. Is that fair to say?
I think it's a kind of a matter of perspective. I think he did really well on a defense that wasn't particularly that good a couple of years ago. He was a team leader in sacks, and then a lot of the players around him grew up and got better and got stronger and, you know, came off redshirt years and things like that. So I think he had less chances to stand out, if that makes sense. I think he was asked to do some different things. He was not asked to rush the passer as much, for example. So that makes it harder to get sacks. But he definitely looked like a guy his sophomore year who looked like he would light the world on fire. He was, you know, always in the backfield. And I think maybe he was just kind of one of the players in that defense that really flashed because of the talent around him. But you look at the talent on Stanford's defense this year, and I think there was certainly more of it. I was surprised to see Quentin Meeks go undrafted, but Harrison Phillips and Justin Reed both were drafted off this defensive unit, and Kalamvaiye as well. So I think there might have been fewer chances to stand out, if that makes sense.
I want to get to his strengths and weaknesses in just a bit, but just want to remind everybody to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter if you aren't already, email us at LockedOnTexans@mail.com. If you got questions, if you forget any of that, just go to the show description of each podcast. It's all right there. We're also looking for contributors to our website, LockedOnTexans.com. If you're interested, please let us know. And also, when you're done listening to today's podcast, take a few seconds, rate us on iTunes, put up a review, and we'll certainly read that on the show. Now, I want to ask you about Peter and his strengths and weaknesses as a player, as a linebacker. What does he do well? What does he do poorly?
He was his best when he was able to rush the passer as that 3-4 edge outside linebacker. And he's pretty fast. He's a good athlete. I think his problem is that he's not quite as powerful as his speed would let on, if that makes sense. So you'd think he'd be able to translate that a little bit better. But it's not quite there. So it's like he's got most of the pieces. And I think he can be an impact player on special teams right away. Because he's pretty fast. He's a good athlete. He's not certainly not afraid of contact. But it's like he's just kind of missing that next athletic step or that next level that would really take him to, you know, this guy's physically capable enough of being a rotation contributor in the NFL. You know, I know guys shuttle off or on and off the field, kind of dependent on defenses, but I think I just don't know how much stronger he can get is kind of the lingering question I have in my mind. Because I think he's fast enough and a good enough tackler and physical enough to be a special teamer and, you know, find a role as a backup outside linebacker. It's just his skill set is good, but not super elevated in any way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Is it something where if he gets the right coach in the NFL that maybe something clicks and things change for him? I mean, it's just kind of I'd have to be a guess on your part, but from what you've seen or heard, or is that what it could be? Is there some technique stuff, or do you feel like maybe he's just not quite as good an athlete as he needs to be to really be a game changer?
It's a little bit of a hard question for me to answer. I would say maybe the athleticism is just he's not going to get any more athletic because maybe the program, kind of the Stanford program, kind of maxed him out. Maybe. I think he could certainly work on technique a little bit, particularly as a rusher. I think he could develop a few more moves and a little bit more well-rounded skill set there. The question is, I just don't know how much opportunity he's going to have to do it. I'll be interested to watch him, especially when it comes down to that fourth preseason game, to see how much skills has he added. Does he have some kind of power move now? Is he able to bend the edge a little bit better? Does he have a twist move or something? I don't think he's ever going to be Von Miller, and I think that's okay. I think he's got a little bit of something that's there, and it's just he's got to make his impact on special teams, because I think with some work it might be there.
Is there any interesting bit of info that you could tell us, like sneaky bit of info about any of these guys, just maybe them off the field? I know that Peter Kalambai, he wanted to be a SportsCenter ESPN anchor at one point. I think he switched his sights now on news. He majored in communications. He's got an interesting Twitter handle, Dog Nasty. I don't know if that's his nickname. Does he or Justin have nicknames?
Yeah, the Dog Nasty nickname has been there for a while. It has been his handle, I think, since he was in high school. So if I'm remembering my recruiting correctly, I don't know that I have anything super interesting to say about it. Like as you were alluding to, Peter is Trinidadian, or I hope I'm saying that right. His father is Congolese. You were right about that earlier. So that's kind of interesting. I think he's one of four or five kids. I will say this. Eric Reed was recruited to Stanford by Jim Harbaugh and ended up going to LSU instead, where he ended up playing with Tyrann Mathieu. So now the Tyrann will have the chance to play with both Reed brothers, which I suppose is a bit of an interesting fact.
Yeah, Peter was telling us about that and the phone call right after the draft. That was kind of cool. And you know, Peter and Justin, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much of that personality that you get on an everyday basis, but both of them seem to have the personality when we were just talking to them. They do the phone call right after the draft, and you could talk to him a little bit. And Peter especially, I thought, you know, he's got the potential to have a little bit, bring a little bit of something. You know, there was stuff that I read that as a locker room guy, some people were a little bit taken aback by him at first, but then they're like, oh, you get to know him and you realize, oh, he's a great guy or whatever. So I don't know if that's something that I was reading from a couple of years ago and he's sort of turned and more of an outgoing personality or somebody that connects with people or whatever. But it sounds like the typical Stanford guys. I mean, if I can say such a thing, but they're intelligent. They have these some leadership qualities. You know, usually all of this type of stuff with the Stanford guys really translates to the NFL, doesn't it?
You know, I would say so. It's, I think as the brand has almost gotten more and more appealing as more and more Stanford guys have been in the league. You know, you think of some of the guys that have made it off practice squads or keep working, even Doug Baldwin was undrafted and is now, you know, Super Bowl champion, excellent at what he does kind of thing. It's the number of success stories for Stanford football is really high. And I think that speaks to the program prepares these guys to get ready and be ready for the NFL and be themselves in the NFL too, and succeed on their own terms. Because certainly nobody has fallen into the same circumstances. So, it's been interesting to watch as the program has developed over the last couple of years and keep spitting guys out that pretty much, you know, it's hard for me to think of guys that have been major busts other than Jonathan Martin, which was certainly a bizarre situation, and Andrew Luck, but you know, he was good until he was hurt. So it's been interesting to watch, and I think these guys will certainly succeed on their own merits because of who they are and who the program brings in and who they turn out.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the Texans now, with the addition of Johnson Bademosi And they already had Brennan Scarlett, and he's got a super interesting background. We've interviewed him on our show before. You got four Stanford guys with the Texans right now, and you know, if there's Texans fans that want to keep up with what's going on with Stanford, and who they produce, you know, NFL players year in and year out. You guys had a few more drafted this year. How can they follow you and what you're doing? Give us your Twitter handle, website, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, if you want to keep following along, we do a lot of college football coverage, a little bit of draft coverage. You can follow us at ruleoftree.com. Same Twitter handle, at ruleoftree. We're always kind of trying to do our best to keep up with where all these guys are going and doing. So it's been a really fun ride. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jack Blanchett. So I'm tweeting about the Texans and I'm tweeting about Stanford football. So from those handles.
Yeah, you're a Texans fan. That's good. That's good for them to know as well. You're a Texans fan.
Yeah, I am. Granddad's been a season ticket holder since the team started, and I was actually an intern for the Texans for two summers. So I'm the more Texans that are on the team, the more Stanford guys that are on the Texans is really a nice confluence of interest for me.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, thanks for joining us. A lot of fun having you on, and we're super excited to see what these two guys can do. Brian will be back in the next show. If you're missing him, don't forget House of Houston. That's the place to go find all of his work. Astros and Rockets related, as well as the Texans. It's a fan site affiliate, houseofhouston.com. My sports podcast, Houston Sports Talk, where I talk a little Rockets and Astros as well. You can go check that out. It's on iTunes. It's a free Android app. Really easy to find in the Google Play Store. That's all we got for this show. We'll be back with you, unless there's big news that happens and big news breaks, but we'll be back with you next week with Locked On Texans. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.